learn. So we're in the middle slash towards the end of Torah Tess. So we're on, in this edition, we're on page Yud Beis, the bottom right paragraph, Vida. I mean, most paragraphs start with Vida, so Vida Shakol, how about that? Okay, the last paragraph before Eistalad. Okay, so the kids, so let's just sort of get back into this Torah. To a certain degree, this Torah is really flipping the script on what davening is about. Usually when you learn Chassidus Sforim about the avoid of davening, so the avoid of davening is about, and this is not necessarily taking away from that, but it's just adding another layer. You'll see what I mean. But when you learn the Chassidus Sforim, davening is an avoid of bittul, of sort of, and that's certainly the need that a person, the need that a person has to sort of activate to enter into davening. You have to humble yourself, climb with Nei HaMelech, a level of bittul. But Rav Nachman, really in this piece, is really defining tefillah as an exercise of reinforcing and strengthening in a healthy and a good way one's sense of ani, one's sense of ani. And so really, that's really how the Torah began. Rav Nachman began by telling us that Torah recharges one's chiyas, which doesn't seem to be the ayin sort of approach, right? Which is sort of nullifying oneself, becoming completely batal. But fakert, it's a way of sort of being mechazik, of renewing and recharging one's sense of self, one's real identity, one's real chiyas. And he went on to say that, we'll see about this a little bit more, but he went on to say, for example, in the top paragraph on page Yud Beis, the top right paragraph, that's where he mentioned, we'll see about this soon now, but that's where he mentioned the idea of every, let's say, you know, the beginning of the Torah said this idea that every, you know, tefillah recharges one's chiyas, or renews one's chiyas, and we know that Klal Yisrael divided into 12 different shroshim, 12 different 12 different shvatim, and so on, 12 different camps, and so the meaning of tefillah is to reunite your neshama with your shayrish, with your root, which there's 12. And so Rav Nachman introduced the idea, which we find in many other Chassidus Sforim. It goes back to the Mitzvah Chumagid, it goes back before him also, but the idea of there being a Shara Kailo, right? So the idea of being like, you don't know where your Shairish is, right? So it's 12 different Nusachs, 12 different Nusachs of davening, but if you're not davening your proper Nusach, then what's going to be with you? So there's a Shara Kailo, so it's like there's 12 gates, and really you should go, if you're from Reuven, you should go into the Reuven gate, and Shimon and Levi and so on. But if you don't know, there's the Layutzlach gate, the gate that if you don't know who you are, then at least you go there. That's the Shahar Kailo. And so that's what Mr. Chamagid said. That's the Nusach of the Rizal. It's the Shahar Kailo. But Rav Nachman is really saying it differently. Rav Nachman is not saying that there's 12 different gates, and if you don't know your gate, then at least there's a Shahar Kailo. So when you go on the Shahar Kailo, it's like you're this nameless, like, person without a real identity, but at least he got in, because there's a Shahar Kailo that's open to everybody. That's not what Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman says, the name of the Shahar Kailo is that the tzaddik directs you to your gate. And somehow, the Shahar Kailo is not the pshat, a 13th gate that's just open to anyone, disconnected from the other 12. No, no, no. The Shahar Kailo means a way that the tzaddik brings you to your shayrish. And the ikar is not to disregard your particular nusach, but to connect yourself to the tzaddik, to the neshama, as we'll see soon, the neshama that is that's connected to that 13th gate, whose job is to direct traffic, not to give a 13th path as if it's disconnected. We find this again, it's ironic, but many times we find the Likut Moran overlap between him and the Vilna Gaon. I've mentioned many times Vilna and Uman the same gematria. So the Rav Nachman, the year of the histalkus of the Gaon, that's when Rav Nachman took upon himself to go to Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, by the writings of Vilna Gaon, they need a 13. When you say 13, 13 miyudea, so 13 midas. In the Arizal, the root of the 13 midas, harachamim, correspond to three names of Yudke Vavke times 3. Now, basic arithmetic, Yudke Vavke is 4. Yeah, 4 times 3 is 12. That's the 13. Shahar Kailo, right? So there's a Shahar Kailo. In the writings of the Vilna Gaon, we find this, that the Shara Koil is not this, and again, it's rooted, it's based on the teaching that I just said from that Rizal. It's not the pshat that there's a Shara Koil like a 13th one that's outside of the system of 12. It brings together the 12 and sort of directs traffic. That's the same thing over here. But again, it's coming from this idea that tefillah is not to lose one's identity. It's about fakert. It's about reaffirming one's real identity, and that's why, as we mentioned this idea many times, that to a certain degree, this is the what makes Breslov stand out as opposed to other let's say compared to Chabad or something. So like we mentioned many times that the Rebbe Rashab used to talk about this idea a lot. I'm oversimplifying it. But Rashab says, for example, the Derech HaNavodis Hashem is, first you start off as Yesh, but it's a low Yesh, an inauthentic Yesh, a not emistic Yesh. And then you strip that away and you get to Ayin. So that's usually, and that transition from Yesh to Ayin, that's what we think about in davening. So it's like you come before davening, my parnosa, my health, my hatzlacha is me. That's yesh, but that's not true. And then in order to daven, so you have to strip that away, now you're ayin. But Rashab taught that even after that ayin, then you have to transcend into yesh again. But now the yesh amiti. Now your identity is now unified with Hashem's identity. And now the Rabbanu Shalom says anoichi, and I could answer back also with ani. So, to a certain degree, we mentioned this in the past, I think, that to a certain degree, Breslov Chassidus is very much focused on that final transition of getting from Ayin into Yesh. Other Chassidus is more focused on the Ayin, that middle stage. If you break it down in the Svarim, for example, one way to think of it is in terms of like the top three spheres. So you have, Keser, Chachma, and Bina, or working your way bottom up, Bina, Chachma, and Keser. Bina is, to a certain degree, Yesh. Bina is Yesh. Bina is Yesh. And then you have Chachma. Chachma, why do I say Bina is Yesh? Because like the Rebbe gives a shir, right? And all of a sudden, what is the mode of the Talmud when he's receiving a shir? You have to just be bottle, right? You can't have any, that has to be amounts of ayin in order to receive it. Once you received it, so now you could pull it apart and have your own ideas, my kasha, my teretz, how do I understand it? That's bina. So bina is more yesh. Bina is more yesh. So bina is yesh, that's where you start off. And then you have chachma, chachma is ayin, chachma is bittel. Then you go to, then you transcend to the highest measure, which is keser. What's keser? Keser is also yesh. Just like the king, there's no one that's more yesh than the king. But his yeshus is, he yarshined it from his ancestors. You understand? His yeshus is not an individual personal yeshus. His yeshus is because he embodies something bigger than himself. But that identity that's bigger than himself is his identity. That's his yesh. So there's a certain covered malchus that Keser brings, and it's a yesh, but it's not a false, small, tiny yesh. It's a reflection of what's called the yesh amiti. In Chabad, for example, very often in for Tanya and other places, Lakutei Torah, Kemat, it's a theme throughout Chabad Chassidus. They'll talk about Keser, but it's always framed within the Meichen of Chachma. The lens of Chabad Chassidus is through the lens of Chachma. So even when they talk about the greatest Tasagas and the Tanug, and it's always within the context of Bittul. Like Bittul is always the framing. Whatever Madrega you're talking about in Chabad, it's always within the framing of Bittul. This Madrega of Bittul, this level of Bittul, it's through the lens of Chachma. Rav Nachman, to a certain degree, is a different language. He's not speaking the language of Bittul per se. He's speaking the language of the Yesh Hamiti. Now again, that's one that's tied with Bittul, because the Yesh Hamiti means that it's not my individual small earthly identity. I'm there's enough space within me for a bigger identity, but. And we've mentioned this in the past also, that to a certain degree, for a person to truly embrace oneself in a healthy, strong way, then there has to be such a level of bittul that even the havamina of being arrogant doesn't exist, right? As long as there's a havamina of arrogance, then you can allow yourself to be a yesh. But because there's absolutely no havamin of arrogance, that's why you can embrace yeshus, right? That's why to be zeicha to the kasher, which is the yesh amiti, comes with a even more profound level of bittul, of an absolute bittul behechlet, like a complete bittul. So in Chabad, so all the svarim talk about that bechin of kasher, but in Chabad, for example, when they perceive or where they draw down the light of kasher, it's in the language of bittul. So we'll talk about. They'll talk about a bittul behechlet, an absolute dissolving of one's ego that even the havamina of being egocentric doesn't exist. But the flip side of that is now that there's not even a havamina being egocentric, now you could actually be egocentric because your ego now is not going to have any psilas. It's not going to have any. That's why. In the hierarchy of the spheres, for example, that first madrig of yesh, but not a healthy yesh. Again, we're not talking about someone that's stealing. You know what I mean? Because everything is mine. He's not taking candy from a baby. But an underdeveloped yesh. That corresponds to the lower worlds of bria, yitzira, and asiya. The lower worlds means a reality, an existence that's separate from Hashem. Recognizing Hashem's in charge and doing what you have to do. I'm not stealing candy from a baby, but l'maisa, I want to. And if it wasn't for the fact that there's such a thing as gandam, I probably would, right? So that's bria yitzi and asiya. So bria and asiya is a very strong sense of yesh. But then you transcend to atzilus. Atzilus corresponds to bina. Atzilus corresponds to chachma. Chachma is ayin. So atzilus is, that's God's territory. It's not my territory. But even in Atzilus, regarding Atzilus, it says in Pasuk, Lo Yigur Chara, evil doesn't exist there. But you see in that Pasuk, the concept of evil exists, and we have to say, evil doesn't exist there. So there's Bittul, but there's a Havamin of Yesh. That's why in the Kisveri we find that the Kalim of Atzilus become the soul for Bria Tzirnasiya. So what does that mean, the Kalim of Atzilus become the soul of Bria Tzirnasiya? It means the Kalim of Atzilus. Whatever this means, again, it means that there's akoponim, the beginnings of yesh, or the havamin of yesh. There's a conceptual idea of what, there's a concept of outside of Elikus. It's not outside of Elikus, but there's a concept of what would be like if things would be outside of Elikus, and that germinates into the world, the lower worlds of Bria Tzion Asiya. But then you get to the higher level, which is Keser, which corresponds to a higher world even before Atzilus, which is called Adam Kadmai. Which is interesting. That's the higher. That's the universe that even is above Atzilus. But that's such a strange thing, right? Because in the Svarim, the worlds until that highest Madrega are the names of them are very sort of detached, right? Asiya, that's what a person does. Yitzira, fashion, bria, creation. Atzilus is a being uniform. I don't know. These are not words that you would get uncomfortable with. But all of a sudden, when I tell you that the highest universe in Elikus is called Adam Kadmain, one second, you're talking about Adam. So all of a sudden, what's ironic is that the highest universe is a word it's a term that's familiar to us, that's more comfortable in our language, Adam. So it doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom, it's not Kiloy Adam, right? But it means because the highest madrig of Keser is Takayesh. And that highest level of such bittul that there's not even a havamina of a false yesh. There's not even a havamina of outside of Elikus. That's the highest madrig. So again, Atzilus conceptualizes an idea of there being lower worlds, but the highest madrig of Keser which is Adam Kadmon, it's not even a conceptual idea of there being anything outside of Hashem. Which in that case, therefore, you could actually double down on yesh. This is why we find in the Kisvei that there's a very strange shidduch between the highest world of Adam Kadmain and the lower worlds of Bria Tzion Asiya. The way that Arizal, again, it's a little mushal, but the way that Arizal sort of formulates it is as if you have, let's say, you know, for example, let's say you had Atzilus as the, you know, up here. You have over here. So the way he describes, let's say, the four worlds of Atzilus, Bria Tzion Asiya, is like a building with four floors. So the highest floor is Atzilus. And then beneath it is Bria, Yitzir, and Asiya. But there's no real overlap. It's like Bria Tzinisi is like holding on for dear life. You know what I mean? They're just holding on, hanging off the cliff, right? But the Arizal revealed that where's Adam Kadmon? The Arizal described Adam Kadmon is not just the fifth floor on top. Adam Kadmon is higher than all of it, but it's also like sort of the backbone. It's sort of the backbone embracing and supporting not just Atzilus, but also Bria Tzinisi. So ironically, it's Dafka. The deepest support and the greatest support for the lower worlds of Bria Tzinisi, which is an earthly sense of identity and of Yesh, is actually the highest universe of Adam Kadmon, which is God's Yesh, because that's the system that the Rosh Hashanah said Yesh Ayin Yesh. So again, what Rav Nachman is describing as davening is this exercise of recapturing of absorbing. Of returning your neshama to your shayrish, which means not stopping by atzilus, not stopping by ayin, but fakert, but returning to that madreg of keser, of becoming the king, right? Of embracing that sense of yesh and rejuvenating one's life force. And that's what Rav Nachman in the top paragraph on page Yud Beis described that the tzaddik hador, Yaakovinu, he described as Yaakovinu. Yaakovinu, the Shara Koyel that's directing traffic, making sure everyone gets to their proper Shairish, that's the tzaddik that also gives chiyas to the lower three worlds. That's mamash what he described. The idea is as follows. What does it mean, the Shara Koyel directing traffic? The answer is, again, Rav Nachman went on to say that a major inyan of davening is to be emistic, right? So we have to understand the 12 is a number that's usually associated with the lower three worlds. If you take a three-dimensional cube, right? I'm making it overly complicated. If you take a three-dimensional cube and you count how many lines there are, how many edges. So there are 12 altogether. Yud Beis Gvulei Alkasan, that's in Sefer Yetzirah. So 12 always is a number that's associated with this lower world of three dimensions. The three worlds, three dimensions. So it's associated with that. The idea of everyone finding their Shevet is deeply rooted with the idea that Rav Nachman mentioned last time, which was that when you daven be be'emes, say what you mean, say what you want. Don't hide behind davening for the Shechina. Don't hide behind what you think Hashem wants to hear from you. Be be'emes. Why is that such an important point? Because this is the secret of it. You can't get to the Yesh Amiti. You can't get to Adam Kadmon, to the highest Madrig of Keser, unless you're traveling with the false Yesh of Bri Yitzin Asiya. It doesn't work like that. That's the system the Rabbanu Shalom made. Just with nothingness, then Hashem has no one to talk to. If you're completely nothing, then when Hashem says Anoichi, you don't know what that means even. What does it mean Anoichi? So who's Hashem talking to? Hashem needs someone like I mentioned. It's like the Gemara says that the Yetzirah attacks Klal Yisrael more than any other nation. Like we have, if you think like you learn Chumash, we're Sefer Bamidbar, right? Sefer Bamidbar is like once we start getting to Eretz Yisrael, we move from our scene and start getting to Eretz Yisrael. So it's like Dishbitzer had a mashal. He said that it's like you have a cup or whatever, some container of something that has like a foul odor to it. So if it just sits still, like you don't smell anything. But once you start moving it around, all of a sudden, so it's like there's some sort of foul odor, you know. And when we move towards Eretz Yisrael, then think the answer is again this is the process. You have Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is false yesh. It's false yesh. It's not, you know. It was falling out of the Zara, you know. It's a false yesh. Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people held on to some sincerity, right? They didn't change their names, they didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their language. So they held on to some emes, right? But Mitzrayim means a full sense of yesh. And then the Rabbanu Shalom brings us to Har Sinai. What's Har Sinai? Atzilus, relatively speaking. Har Sinai means parcha nishmasam, and Hashem has left them. That's completely ayin. So then it's fine. When you're a state of ayin, there's nothing that's going to go wrong. Laigur chara. But a havamina of ra there is, right? So then you get there, then you start traveling to Eretz Yisrael. What's Eretz Yisrael? It's where the Yesh Amiti. So all of a sudden, as we start getting to Eretz Yisrael, every other day, let's go back to Mitzrayim. right? The Erev Rav keeps us in, let's go back to Mitzrayim. Vesapis. The answer is, they were picking up on what was really going on, but they're picking it up on the Klipa side. Eretz Yisrael is taka a return and a strengthening, a deepening of that sense of yesh that the Jewish people had in Mitzrayim. It is to a certain degree going back to Mitzrayim, but not going back to Mitzrayim in a bad way. It's re-embracing one sense of yesh, but now in a healthy way. That's what Eretz Yisrael is. So as we go into Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden we're in Parshat Baleska, that's when we start traveling. So Parshat Baleska is the beginning of when that container, what is Yeshua talking about? What's in that container? The container is yesh, it's yeshus. So when the yeshus starts moving around, all of a sudden it begins to smell. Why is the yeshus moving around? The answer is because that's where we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is about that. When Hashem told the Klal Yisrael about, you know, about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Yitzis Mitzrayim, those are the two things he mentioned. Tavdun Slakim Alar Azeb, but he's going to get to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a return to the Yesh Amiti. So that's why in this, let me go, so again, so that's why 12 corresponds to one's MS down here. 12 corresponds to what you're davening for. Like, MS, what's bothering you? Don't hide behind some religious terms. Don't say, if you're not raised with that, don't like say Abishter, you know what I'm saying? Say God, say my, you know, don't hide, be real, be honest, be authentic. That's the 12. And that's low. And you're thinking to yourself, that's a low emes, that's a low yesh. You're right, it's taka low yesh. That's why you're going to need the tzaddik amiti to direct that emes that you have on the lower plane of Bria Tzinasiyah, the 12 Gvul Yalkasin, and direct that to the Yesh Amiti, to the crown of the Yesh Amiti. Not a 13th gate disregarding your 12, but it's taking that 12 and being koilel it in a higher identity, where somehow, through you being authentic and real in your davening and not hiding behind anything and embracing what you personally want to daven for, if you're doing that, as we're going to see in this piece, Rav Nachman says, and connecting your davening to the Tzaddik Hador who embodies that highest yesh, the Adam Kadmai Madrega, the Kesem Madrega, then you'll get there. But not in a way that undermines what you personally want. Fakert. In what you want, you'll find the source of your chiyas. That's what it means, the source of your chiyas. What's the source of a person's chiyas? The source of one's chiyas is not the three lower worlds of the 12 channels down here. That's a false yesh that falls apart. That's Mitzrayim. That's not... The ultimate source of one's chiyas is when that sense of yesh, which is of the lower three worlds, is reconnected and realigned with its root in the yesh amiti. So this is the model that Rav Nachman is bringing us for davening, is that what you have to do by davening is your entrance into davening is with a sense of bittul. So that's atzilus. But once you have that framework of bittul, the ultimate job is to be zeichet to a sense of yesh, to a real healthy sense of yesh. But the sense of yesh ultimately starts and ends with the yesh down here, the lower three worlds, which is what you want to daven for, and you're a personal inyanim. But for that to be a yesh amiti, it has to connect with Adam Kadmon, with that keser, with that highest madrega, which is the support system for that lower three. And that's the ultimate shidduch. To a certain degree, I didn't say these words, but to a certain degree, b'oimik, ultimately it will be shown that it's the lower three worlds that's the proper shidduch with Adam Kadmai. Not at Sila so much. In order for the lower three worlds to become saturated with the light of Adam Kadmai, it has to be funneled through Atzilus. So if a person comes to davening with talking about their inyanim and ego, then that's not davening, obviously. That's just turning Hashem into a therapist, where all you're talking about is about yourself, and that's where the sugya ends. that's not necessarily good. So it's not about just, but it's about coming with a sense of ayin, with a purpose. That my purpose is to describe what I need and what I want and what I'm feeling, but for those desires and those wants and that authenticity to be saturated and filled with God's authenticity, not to just end there. Just to end there, that's just talking about yourself. But the sugya of self is a sugya that is of interest to that highest madrega of Adam Kahn. The Yesh Amiti Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is interested in the discussion of the self, but not an egocentric self that's not interested in engaging. You see what I'm saying? So this is what the Shara Kailo means. Not a third gate that's disconnected from what you're about, from your personality. Fakert. The only thing the Shara Kailo is to take those 12, which are the Yud Gevurah Gevurah Alkasin, the lower worlds, and to infuse it with. Now that you have a yesh that's workable, you have a material that you have an ego, you have something that you're interested in. Oh, so now you can infuse that with Hashem's interest. It's like Reb Tzadik says, it says in Pasuk, Kobo avudu maritz asher v'anidoch em beretz Mitzrayim. Right? But you know, you talk about Shofar Gadol, right? There'll be a great Shofar. Those that are lost in Assyria will be returned, and those that are rejected in Eretz Mitzrayim will be returned. So Reb Tzadik says, it sounds like those that are in Asher will come back first, and those in Mitzrayim second. So Reb Tzadik says there's two types of Yidin that are lost. One type of Yid is a Yid that's excited. He's just excited for all the wrong things. So he's a workaholic. He's motivated. He's doing things. That's easy to get him back. Why? Because you just have to educate him of what he should be excited about. But he's excited anyway. So that's Gevaldik. But then you have a Yid that doesn't, it's not interested in anything. So he's just sleeping all day. So how are you supposed to, that's harder to, because then you have to. So it's like, the Rabbanu Shalom is Anoichi. Anoichi is like, the Rabbanu Shalom is wants to talk to people that have interests. So like, because Hashem has interests. So Hashem doesn't want to talk to someone that's not interested in anything. What type of conversation is that? So Malachim aren't interested in anything. So Hashem could tell Malachim what to do. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to have a dialogue. So it's like, that's why I started mentioning. Chazal said that the Yitzhar is Mizgar B'Kal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Why? So Pashur Shat, Kol God Mechaver Yitzhar God Leimenu. But it's deeper than that. Maybe I'm not allowed to say this, but like I'm saying this, B'Tar is like tongue in cheek. Hashem offered the Torah to the other nations, right? So Esau said, what does it say? Leisirtzach, not interested. But we said Nasa v'nishmos, pshat. So I'm saying this as a joke, but there's some truth to it, but it's only Bataris a joke. So by the Umas Olam, they knew if they accepted the Torah, the Taka wouldn't be able to kill. And they want to kill, so they can't accept the Torah. But we accept the Torah because we know even if Hashem tells us what to do, we can still say no. So maybe that's not a problem. I'm saying this as a joke, but there's a certain truth to that. The Am Kshei Oyrif is that the Rabbanu Shalom wants that to a certain degree. Because there's an ego there, but it's good. That's the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom wants the dialogue.
You have something to work with.
Yeah, there's someone there. There's not just like a blank stare. There's someone there.
It's good.
Yeah, so the Rabbanu Shalom wants. But that's the oymek of what davening is. Again, and that's the role of the Tzaddik Hador that we're going to see as he's going to talk about this more. But that's the idea of that's why the how many Shvatim are there? 12, 13, I don't know, it depends how you count them, right? So like what type of business is that? But the answer is because, again, the 13th, the Shara Kail is not this second, it's not this 13th gate that if you go in there like the nameless masses enter into the 13th gate. When you have a name, then you know if you're Reuven, Shimon, Levi. But if you're nameless, then you go into the 13th gate. That's not how it is. The 13th gate is realigning your name with God's name. That's the idea. And that's what built into the Shvatim is there's only 12, but Bemis is 13. It's not a 13th separate gate. It's within that. That's the Oymek. Okay, so let's Enough introduction. Okay, so let's see by Vida, the bottom paragraph. Vida. Again, Shakol Ufi Gaidel Emes. All the madregas and all the infusion of keser that a person can be zeichet to, and the rejuvenation of one's neshama, is dependent on one's authenticity by davening. It depends on the emes. Ki ikar ha'or hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the main light and the main source of life is Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzem ha'emes. So it's like you have, there's an emes of the lower worlds of Riyatzin Asiya, the emes of the 12. But then there's the Ikra Emes, which is Hashem's Emes, which is the Yesh Amiti, the crown, the Keser, Adam Kadmai. But you have to come with Emes, with your Emes, then the Rabbanu Shalom infuses that with his Emes. The Ikra Shtaika Shal Hashem is Baruch Einu Elo Emes. And the Rabbanu Shalom is Mishtaika Kiviyach. The Rabbanu Shalom desires to connect to those that are coming to him with Emes. V'zeh, and that's the meaning of the Pasuk, going back to the Tev, which represents Davening, Vel Amma Techalena Melamala. What does it mean, Vel Amma Techalena Melamala? So, Pasuk, when you're building the Teva, build it in a way that the roof ends at a peak where there's an amma flat on top, right? He says like this. What's techalena mean? Loshen v'techal nefesh David. Techalena means kalosa nefesh. It means ishtaikos, desire. That's techalena. And what does amma mean? Amma hihei metzois, hakelulim hi'eishu mayim. Amma, that word amma represents the words coming out of your mouth. We know there's hei metzois hapeh, there's five different places in which words are formulated, right? You have your throat, the chech, the back of the tongue, whatever it is.
Palate,
yeah. The tongue, the teeth, the lips, and did I just count five? Lips, teeth, tongue, the palate, and the throat. Yeah, five. So this is the Hematzai Sapeh. And we know words, the vapor of words, is connected to Eish and Mayim, right? So there's heat, and there's also vapor, which is Mayim. So the word Amma, which is the He, corresponds to the five passageways of speech, and Aleph Mem is Eish and Mayim. That corresponds, so altogether, the word Amma corresponds to the words that you say. So he says, V'hainu Shetira Sheyetzva Durim V'icha B'emes. And that's the meaning over here. You have to make sure the words come out of your mouth b'emes. So if you're teva, if you're coming with it, see, that's the idea. The Rabbanu Shalom only, the Rabbanu Shalom is chaysamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The Rabbanu Shalom is, his sugi is emes. If words are not said b'emes, then they're not heard. They're not. It's not pshat that he rejects it. There's no emes. Sheker doesn't exist up there. So if words are coming b'sheker, then they're not, they just don't exist. So if there's a teva, it means it's emes. If the Torah identifies a teva, it means it's emes. And once there's a teva of emes, vel amma techalena melamala, to that word of emes, which is the amma, the Rabbanu Shalom is mishtaikik from above. From above, the Rabbanu Shalom has a taiva to connect to that lower emes. You understand how Nachman is describing? There's a lower emes that's coming from below, and then there's a higher emes that the Rabbanu Shalom has. As long as you know it's subjective, that's the nekuda, because it has to come it has to come through atzilus, which means ayin. So you know that you're full of stupidity. Not you, Chas V'Shalom. but this is what I'm feeling. But I know it's shtos. So it's like the guy's davening. It's like, and like we said last time, like I know I should be davening for the Shechina. But I don't feel like davening for the Shechina. I feel like davening for my inyanim. It's just shtus. I know it's ridiculous, but what am I? As long as you come authentic, but you have to know that your authenticity is stupid, right? But that's called coming with emes of Briyatzin Asiya, but traveling through Atzilus. So it's like there's not. It's ayin. I'm willing to admit that I'm being narish. But what am I supposed to do, Rabbanu Shalom? This is what I'm feeling right now. Okay, now I have someone to talk to. I have someone that's humble. I have someone that's willing to, that's trying to connect to me. He's not, again, that's the difference between I'm giving a therapist as an example. It doesn't necessarily have to be this way. A good therapist goes through this process with the client. But a bad therapist just allows the person to talk about his narishkeit and never, whisper to the person, by the way, you realize this is narish, right? I mean, it's true, and it's your narishkeit, so talk about it. We'll go through it, but I recognize that it's narish, right? That's a healthy thing. Might not be so comfortable, but that's the avodah. If a person goes with Narishkeit and never realizes Narish, then that's Briyat Sinasiya stuck in its own in the mud. It's not ascending. To ascend means that it's becoming closer to Emes, to Emes Lamitai. In order to make that travel upward, you have to recognize that where I'm holding now is Narish relative to where I want to get. But the vehicle that I'm traveling with is a vehicle of Emes. But I recognize that this MS that I'm holding right now is stupid. But this is where I'm holding. That's Vel Amatech Alem Amala. If there's words of MS like that, but it's ascending upward, then the Rabbanu Shlomo is Mishtakek to descend towards it as well. That's what davening is. Very good. Amaz Eretz Yisrael Mitzrayim Har Sinai. Okay, very good. Very good. So he says, and when the Rabbanu Shel Olam resides in those words in the person, who yar lecha, then you'll be illuminated. That's meaning, Amma techalenam lamala, Rosh Tevis emes. Amma techalenam lamala, Rosh Tevis emes. K'aydei emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chaymed malamala lishkenam adam. Through emes, the Rabbanu Shel Olam desires to descend and to reside within the person. K'may shekasav, karv Hashem l'chol karv, And then the words of Emes then become illuminated, and there's an opening, and a person experiences Elokus. Then the words of Emes themselves become the gateway to get out of the shtus. Because you, again, the person wants to get it. The person doesn't want to be stuck in the Narishkeit, but you have to first identify that it's Narish. But at the same time, this is my Narishkeit. So I'm trying to get out of it. But the way to get out of it is by traveling with it, and slowly but surely it becoming elevated. So the teva then finds its opening. The teva finds its own opening. Vizobitsida, in the side of it. Hainu haklipa tzad tzayin. In the klipa, in the shtus that the person was stuck in, that itself becomes the opening of the teva. That itself becomes how the teva becomes open to higher things. But you gotta, again, you come with that. First, you're trying to daven for the Shechina, let's say, for example, just as an example, but then Lamaisa Klippas are being Masabib and you're getting stuck in Yonin Yonim. So don't fight it. Okay, so fine. So right now I can't daven. But then talk to Hashem about it. But don't convince yourself that it's Emes Lamita. It's not. But it's where I'm holding. And then through this, you'll be masakin. This is what he says over here. You'll be masakin tachtiim, shniim, ushlishim. You'll be masakin the lower three levels, the three floors of Briyat Sinasi. That's what he's referencing. Hainu oilam ha-shafil, v'oilam ha-gagalim, v'oilam ha-seichel. Again, but that's not what he's talking about. When the false yesh of the lower three worlds is unified with the highest yesh of Adam Kadma, of the crown, then fakir, that's the ultimate tikkun for the lower three worlds. The ultimate tikkun is not for them to be destroyed. The ultimate tikkun is for them to be, sort of infused with that emes lamitai of Adam Kadmai. Atzilus can't do that. Atzilus, the entire metzias of Atzilus is a very important idea, and it's a big chiddush. I don't mean chiddush like I'm coming up with it now, but I'm saying, but it's. The entire mitzias of Atzilus is just in order to bring to Briyat Sinasiya. That's its entire function. The entire function of that place of Ayin is just to allow the Yesh to ascend to become a Yesh Amiti. That's a big chiddush. He goes on to say, let's just finish. Vitzarach kolad, not the piece, but Vitzarach koladam by Dalit. Vitzarach koladam lakasher es tfilos l'tzadik adar. And that's the idea of connecting your davening to the tzaddik adar. Tzaddik yodeh lechavin ha-sha'arim. And then the tzaddik is able to make sure that your gate, you get to the right gate, and your gate is connected to the root of all things. And the Rabbanu Shalom Zamas. Again, the tzaddik Zab is not to say, okay, again, like I said before, there's 12 gates for people that know their name, and if you're nameless, come to me. That's not the idea. The tzaddik is not going to you have to daven bemis. You have to daven authentically. The tzaddik's not going to be able to replace that. Once you come with authentic davening, the tzaddik can help infuse emes lamitoi into that davening. But you have to do the hard work. You have to come with your emes and with a recognition of bittul that your emes is silly. When you do that, then the tzaddik can do his job of infusing it with authenticity, with emes lamitoi. But you have to go. You have to go with bria tzinasiya, with a framing of Atzilus. And then the tzaddik will do his thing. Maybe I'm putting a Chabad twist in the Kutim Aran that the tzaddik doesn't do everything for you. But that's Ulahal, what can I tell you? Ulahal is called tefillah, tefillah, l'shar shayichlai, and he ascends that the tefillah to the shar that's shayich to that person. Ki kol tzaddik v'tzaddik u'b'chinis Mashiach, Moshe Mashiach. Every tzaddik ultimately is rooted in Moshe, which is Mashiach, k'moshe Omar, Moshe, Shaber, k'amrit, uksiv, aki, yavishiloi, da Moshe. So Shiloh is reference to Mashiach, which is also reference to Moshe. U'mashiach hu kol ha'tefillahs. And Mashiach is the Shara Kaili, he's called all the tefillahs. U'mashiach zayi Mashiach, merach v'doy. That's how Mashiach will be able to smell, he'll be able to judge, he'll be able to know the truth with his sense of smell. Ki ha'tefillahs hem b'chinas chaytim, because davening is a b'chin of smell. K'mashakasav u'tilasi chatim lach. So Mashiach, which is Moshe, being able to accurately know the truth based on smell means to be able to take the truth down here of this world and to realign it with the truth above of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that's what the tzaddik hadar does in terms of davening. Okay, Bez Hashem, next time we'll finish up, and the rest of the piece shouldn't be too hard. Okay, shkoyach.